together Acts 3 and verse 19. Thank the Lord for the precious word of God and the promises that the Lord makes as we receive his word and apply them to our lives. Reading together Acts 3 and 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord is what we want to focus on here for just a short while, and let the Lord minister to our hearts through his word. You may be seated. I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord. We've got that promise every time we gather. Jesus said, "Where two or three gather together in my name, there I am in the midst." Praise God. And I'm thankful that we can put our trust in him. Now, David would ask a question, and I'm sure he was not seeking the answer from the standpoint of wanting to truly flee from the presence of the Lord. But he did ask, "Whither shall I flee from thy presence?" In other words, where could I go? There isn't anywhere that I would be able to escape the presence of the Lord. Interestingly enough, there were those who did try to flee from the presence of the Lord. Adam and Eve were in the place of paradise. They could partake of every fruit in the garden, and that must have been quite a variety. That must have been quite an abundance. They had no lack, except for one particular tree that contained forbidden fruit. One. And isn't that like any child who is told you can have this, you can have that, and you may partake of that, but this one thing, and what do? They toddle right over to that one thing and crawl over to that one thing, dash over to that one thing, instead of partaking of all that is available. Adam and Eve likewise did that one thing. You know, fences will hold out danger as well as protect you from straying. I'm thankful that God establishes boundaries for us to help us to understand where our walk with him is to be. There are limits. The tide has limits. The season has limits. Thank God, praise the Lord. Amen. There's going to be a seasonal change here soon because there's a limit to the time that winter, or sort of winter, is going to be around us. Amen. And we'll enjoy the benefits of spring. But the limits that God placed in the garden were what Adam and Eve were supposed to take heed of. Sinful disobedience, we know, caused them not to enjoy the presence of the Lord any longer, not to look forward to that time in the cool of the evening when the Lord would come and visit with them. No, the Bible says, after they sinned, after they did wrong, after they disobeyed, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Why did they do that? They had opportunity to enjoy God's presence and God's power in that place for a long time. But instead, they chose to hide themselves. That's what sin will do. When the Lord asked them, "Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" That question came to them. They had to recognize, yes, we did wrong. Yes, we disobeyed. And the blame game started. Adam said, "It's the woman that you gave me." The woman said, "It's the serpent that tempted me." No matter what the blame game ends up, no matter where it stops, we've got to come to the point where we recognize, "God, I'm sorry, I did wrong." Amen. And that's why the scripture that we read says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Sin brings hurt and heartache. And I'm thankful we don't have to hide from the presence of the Lord. But the presence of sin was there in the family of man from that point on. The Cain, the young man who was born to Adam and Eve, along with Abel, They learned the sacrifices, the proper way to sacrifice before the Lord. They learned the way to worship God. They learned to entertain the presence of God and seek the presence of the Lord in their lives. But there came the point that Cain offered the wrong sacrifice, even though he knew the right way. There was a wrongful death when he was willing to shed his brother's blood rather than that of a lamb in sacrifice. The wrong attitude when he did not repent. Instead, he complained, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." The wrong reaction when the Lord gave him opportunity to turn around and do it right. He went out from the presence of the Lord. And there wasn't an interview with Cain. There wasn't a reporter who stuck a microphone in his face and said, "Now, Cain, you had all of these things happen in your life, and now you're walking away from the presence of God. You're leaving your mother and your father, and the blood of your brother Abel is in the ground. What do you feel now?" There wasn't anybody that would offer that question. But if there was, I would venture to say Cain would recognize, "I've lost what I should have kept. I turned away from what I knew was peace, and I wish I had done something differently." Amen. Now, the Bible talks about Jonah, who was called to preach to Nineveh, but he didn't go there because he didn't want God's mercy to be extended to them. Nineveh had treated the people of the Hebrews horribly. They had done terrible things. There had been awful atrocities that were committed against Jonah's people. And he did not want God's mercy to be extended to Nineveh. He knew that would be the potential if he went and preached to them. So he decided, "I'm going a different way." And three times the record in Jonah's book describes that he went from the presence of the Lord. All he had to do was say, "Yes, Lord," and go and preach to that nation, Nineveh. But he didn't. And so, God prepared. And it's interesting to see how God can prepare different things. I'm thankful that the Bible lets us know that he has prepared a place for us, and in his Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, he would have told us. But thank God, he lets us know that's what he is preparing today. But in Jonah's situation, he prepared a great wind, a storm. I'm thankful that he prepares a calm for us in the storm. But for Jonah, because of his disobedience, there was a storm that came to him. God prepared a fish. Maybe that was better than the sea. I don't know. What would you rather be in, the belly of a fish or in the sea? But for 3 days, he was in that fish or whale, whatever it was, and it was a type of the tomb that Jesus would be in. Then God prepared a gourd so that it could be shade for Jonah as he is journeying there and suffering the effects of the desert climate. And then God prepared a worm to damage the gourd, and it shriveled up and withered. And then God prepared an east wind that arose with the hot sun and blew upon the geography where Jonah was and in his poor attitude. And all that Jonah had to do was prepare his heart to obey God, and things would have had a much better outcome. But he insisted, "I'm going to go from the presence of the Lord. I'm not going to do what God's telling me to do. I don't have to obey. I don't have to follow through. I don't have to do what he is bidding me to do." You see, it's not to your advantage to see how far you can get from God and still hear his voice. It seems that there are those who would try to anticipate that. I remember hearing my Bible school instructor say that one day he got a call in his small apartment before he was married and had a family and lived in a bigger home, he got a call in his apartment. And the voice on the other end of the line said, "We're conducting a test to see what the volume is on our receivers, and we would like for you to participate. Would you help us today?" "Oh, yeah, I can help." "Okay, would you put the receiver down, and would you step back a few steps and see if we can still hear you?" And so he did. He put the receiver down on the little table, took some steps back, and was conversing with the person on the end of the line. "Fine, we can still hear you. Very good. Would you please take two more steps back?" And his apartment was very small, and Brother Clement was being involved in this test. And when he got almost to the door of his apartment, he stopped and thought, "Wait a minute. They wouldn't be doing this kind of a test." And he went and picked it up and realized it. Indeed, it was one of his friends playing a prank on him. The idea is, don't try to get so far away from God, but you still are assured you can hear his voice. You're backing up and you're moving away, but oh, I can still hear his voice. No, that's the devil's trick. Stay in the presence of the Lord. Move in the place where you can hear God, and he can move in your life and do the work that he wants you to do. So David would ask that question, "Whither shall I flee from thy presence? Whither shall I go from thy spirit?" A better question is, why should we? Why should I try to flee from his presence? Why should I try to go from his spirit? David would answer his own question in Psalm 139 and verse 8. "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Thank God, I do not have to determine to flee from his spirit or from his presence. Where would I go? It wouldn't be anywhere I would go. And his presence would still be reaching out to my heart, reaching out to my life, and thank God that he does. Amen. Heaven or hell, he is there. And from the perspective of a simple shepherd or a sovereign king, David would recognize, I can't flee from his presence. He's there with me. He saw the sunrise and the feathery clouds that would accompany it, and he would talk about the wings of the morning. He would look at the sunset in the sea and the uttermost parts of the sea that he would talk about, and knew God would be there. Oh, I'm thankful the Lord never leaves us nor forsakes us. I'm thankful David knew he couldn't and he didn't want to outrun God. Instead, he would run to God. And he wanted the hand of God to lead him and to hold him. Praise God. And so David would make the invitation, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Clap your hands if you've done that. Amen. Thank God that we would know the power of the Lord in that regard. And so David would write in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leads me in green pastures." They're not brown. They're not dried up. They're not faded. They still are full of nutrition. Praise God. "He leads me beside the still waters. They're not stormy. The Lord has arisen and spoke calm to the storm." Thank God. And they're still and waters that he brings us to. "He restores my soul." He doesn't ruin it. In all the experiences of sin and wrong and drugs and alcohol, he doesn't ruin it. No, he restores my soul. "He leads me in paths of righteousness, not the broad way of destruction." That the devil has big signs and great invitations and saying, "Come on, go this way," so that you can enjoy all the things that your heart would indulge in. No, the Lord leads me in paths of righteousness, and I follow him. I see him going before me, praise God, and I'm holding on to his hand. Amen. I will not fear in the valley of the shadow of death, because he's with me. Oh, David would have this confidence in God. He's comforted by the rod and staff of the Lord because his discipline and his defense demonstrates his love for me. No matter what the circumstances are that I find myself walking in, he prepares a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies, even when my heart should be in turmoil, even when I should be shaking in fear. The Lord says, sit down right here. I've got something prepared for you. I've got something that is nutritious for you, and you will be blessed. My head is anointed with oil. Praise God. My cup runs over. Thank God that the Lord would provide his blessings as I desire his presence. And no, it's not going to be empty. It's not going to be fruitless. It's not going to be something that fails, but it's going to continue to run over. And here's my choice. Here's my decision. Along with King David, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm not going to be in and out, up and down, roundabout. I am going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever because I desire his presence. I want his presence. David chose the presence of the Lord. He knew the secret of the presence, the secret, Brother Levi, that his presence would bring into our midst. Psalm 31 and 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. Oh, if there were those who would recognize how wonderful it is and how powerful it is to be in the presence of the Lord, churches across the peninsula would be filled to overflowing today with those who would desire, I want his presence. I want his presence. Thank God that we know the secret of the presence of the Lord. Amen. The psalm that was written for Korah's sons. Now remember Korah and his rebellion. Amazing story that is told there about the judgment that came from God because of Korah's poor decisions. And but the psalm that was written for Korah's sons said, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Just a doorkeeper. Just someone who stands there and opens the door for those who are coming into the presence of the Lord, for those who are desiring the presence of the King, for those who are not trying to flee from his spirit or from his presence, but they want to dwell in the house of the Lord. If I can just be there to open the door for them, because that puts me in the presence of God, that brings me into the place where I can have God's blessing in my life. I choose to be in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to be in God's presence. Moses saw that burning bush. He knew the Lord was there, and God's presence spoke to him out of that miraculous display. He saw the presence of the Lord in the 10 plagues that were brought against the greatest nation on the earth at that time, Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. The Lord was there. Present in that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. Oh, thank God for the presence of the Lord. God gave his promise to Moses and all the people of Israel in Exodus 33 and 14. My presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. I'm thankful for the way Moses responded. I'm thankful for the way Moses made the assurance and the commitment. In verse 15, he said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Don't let us go. Don't take us into that place. Lord, if your presence is not there, if your spirit is not there, if your power is not there, we don't want to go. Oh, let that be our choice today. Let that be our guide today. No God, no go. I'm going to stay with God. I'm going to hold on to him. I'm going to know his power. That's the rule we need to operate by. On that job, if there's no God, I'm not going to work there. Amen. In that relationship, if there's no God, I'm not going to enter into it. In our marriage, if they're not going to serve God, I'm not going to join up. Oh, that's good preaching, Pastor Glover.
Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord. Joshua had the assurance from the Lord. As I was with Moses, the Lord said, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Amen. Joshua had seen the miracles in the wilderness. He believed God to inherit the land. He hadn't forgotten the giants. So he was one of the 12 spies who went forth. He saw the goodness of the land. They came back with that bough of grapes and had two men it took to carry them. They knew the fruit of the land, but there were giants there. Joshua and Caleb didn't ignore that fact. They just knew their God was greater than the giants. And what he had said 40 years before, he still believed. God's going to take care of us. God's going to give us that land. If the Lord is with us, fear them not. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that we can put our trust in the presence of God. Amen. Oh, yes, the demonic presence is there, and the deceit and the lies of the devil is there, but I'm thankful for the word of the Lord. I'm thankful for the voice of God. I'm thankful for the spirit that we can feel that would direct us in saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Turn neither to the left nor to the right, but hold on to the truth of God's word and know that's what I'm going to believe because it brings the presence of God in my life. His presence means blessing. Psalm 16 and 11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Praise God. It's a path of life. It's not a path of destruction that the Lord is leading you to his presence. The fullness of joy, not a measure of joy, not a modicum of joy that you could find that would provide for you a measure of peace. No, the fullness of joy that God wants you to experience. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, these are the times of refreshing that the Lord offers to us from his presence. Amen. And thank God in Acts chapter 4, they had a prayer meeting after they faced persecution that came from the authorities of the land at that time. They came to a place of prayer, not a pity party. No, it was prayer. Oh, God, help us not to let prayer become a time of self-pity, but a time of reaching out to the King of Kings, a time of reaching out to the Lord of Lords, a time of believing that his power and his presence and the secret of his presence is going to lift us up above every adversary and every difficulty and every situation. Praise God. The place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Spirit again, and the power of God came into that place, and into their hearts and into their lives, and the power of his presence made an incredible difference in that hour. Oh, that there would be those times that we would understand in this day, in this hour, his presence can still come into your home, into your marriage, into your relationships. Hallelujah. And the power of God can be displayed in a way that would give you assurance. This is what God desires to do. Praise God. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Thank God I don't have to stagger around under that load of all my mistakes, all my failures, all my poor choices, all my dumb decisions. I can let them go in repentance and the power of the name of Jesus as I'm baptized in that name above every name, the only name whereby we must be saved. I'm thankful that name takes away every sin. And oh, the presence of God. Oh, the presence of God. How powerful and how wonderful. I'm going to run to his presence, not from his presence. Oh, no, I'm going to hold on to what he has promised. Emmanuel, see, is God with us. That's who Jesus is, God with us. Amen. The Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then his presence forever. That's what he's promised us. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. He's coming with a lot of noise, see? Amen. That might make people nervous. It doesn't make me nervous. I want to be in the presence of God. Oh, yes, praise God. Let that shout happen. Let that voice be heard. Let that trumpet blare. Praise God. I want the Lord to come. It's got to be loud, see, because the dead are going to rise first. It's got to be loud enough for them to hear. Praise God. And they're going to get up first. Praise God. The power of the Lord is going to be displayed in an awesome way. And they're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we rise as well. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You look up in the Greek, that word meet will meet the Lord in the air. In the Greek, it means to come into the presence of. I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. And forever we'll be in that realm. Glory to God forever. Amen. That's where I want to be. And we comfort one another, the Bible says, with these words. Because it's not just the words of a president, Lord help us. It's not just the words of a Congress. It's not just the words of grandpa and grandma. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. And we comfort one another because that's where we're going to be in his presence. Would you stand with me this afternoon? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, his presence. Beautiful song. His presence means heaven to me. Glory to God. How incredible it's going to be to step into that realm where there's no sin. There's no Satan. There's no deceit. There's no temptation. We're in heaven. The streets are gold. The walls are jasper. The sea is crystal. The gates are pearl. Ah, what an incredible place. And here's our loved ones. Here's those who have been faithful and they've gone on ahead of us. Amen. They've held to the word of the Lord. They didn't weaken. They didn't fail. They didn't fall. They held on and they're faithful in that heavenly realm. How incredible. Those that we read about in the word of God. Tabitha being raised from the dead. Eutychus being raised from the dead. Hallelujah. The power of God that brought healing to that lame man at the gate beautiful. 40 years he lived without taking a step, but now the name of Jesus made him able to leap and walk and praise God. That's who we're going to see. Glory to God. Brother and Sister French, Brother and Sister Crumpacker, Brother Carnley, on and on the list can go. Our loved ones that are represented here. Praise God, we're going to see them again. But the one I want to see. I told you, I saw my mom dance in a worldly sense. I saw her in parties and all of those kinds of things. And when she came to the Lord, she was older and frail. I'm looking forward to seeing her dance in the presence of God, where it really matters, where there's real joy, there's real wonder. Praise God. But that one I want to see is the one who hung on the cross for me. He didn't say anything when they slapped him. When they pushed a crown of thorns on his head, he just let the blood flow. He did that willingly. Oh, God. That's who I want to see. And I want to take his hands where the nails went in. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for paying the price for my salvation. Oh, and I want to tell him thank you for leaving that tomb empty. Thank you for showing that power over death and hell and the grave. And thank you for giving me that power. I was so undeserving. so caught up in myself, so determined to go my own way. But Jesus in his love and his presence came into a hospital room and ministered to a young boy from a native village. Nobody knew, nobody understood, nobody cared, but the Lord did. The Lord did. And sent an old woman who taught Bible lessons, an old woman who knew how to pray. And she came and put her hand on my head and prayed in Jesus' name. And oh, I felt his presence. I felt a difference in my life. That's who I want to see. That's who I want to praise. That's who I want to lift up forever and ever. Would you come and stand in a place of prayer here this morning? Would you make a commitment in your heart as well? I want to make it to that place. I want to stay in his presence forever. I want to do the will of God from my heart. I want to obey the hand of the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank God that he makes himself so real to us. Thank God that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Thank God that his power continues to move in our lives, and we desire him to minister to us in every way that he can as we believe what his word declares. Amen. Let's just shut everything else out here for a few minutes. Let's close our eyes and open our hearts to what the Lord desires to do right now. In the next few minutes, he can do an incredible work. In the next few moments, he can touch your life in a great way, a powerful way, a wonderful way. Hallelujah. Let's ask him to do that right now. Oh God, show us the secret of your presence. Amen. Let that be your prayer right now. Lord, show me the secret of your presence again. Let me be blessed in your power and in your might. Let me reach out for more that you have for me. Help me to...